Most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble here today in a warm and comfortable building, dear Lord. I thank you for those who are able to join us through Facebook and radio, and we pray your richest blessings upon this service, dear Lord. Though we be limited in number and size, we know that your power is unlimited. You're able to do all things. Lord, we expect great things in Jesus' name. We pray that you'd bless our nation. Lord, bless us through this present distress of weather. We thank you for seeing us through so far. Pray that you watch over those who are shut in. Bless the sick, dear Lord, with your healing. We have so many upon our sick list, dear Lord. So many who are troubled with disease and sicknesses, and we lift them up to you, each and every one. And Father, we ask now for your presence as we look into the Word of God. Might you speak to us in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. I'll be reading from 1 Peter today, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. First Peter, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil. Verse number 15, Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, the reason of the hope in you. Peter says if people should ask you what the reason of the hope that is in you, that you should be ready always to give that answer, but to do it with fear, you know, with meekness and fear. Be ready to do this. Let's think about this morning. What is the reason of the hope that we have in us? Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your presence. We pray that you would bless us, dear Lord, as we speak your word. I pray that you would give us hope, dear Lord. I pray that we could rejoice in the hope that we do have, dear Lord. And I pray that people could see that we do have hope and that we be ready to share with them the reason that we have hope. Bless those that are here and those that are watching. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. To give a witness, you know, to be ready always to give a witness. And the idea here, it says, that people should ask us, what is the reason that you have hope today amidst of a world that is full of troubles and not much to look forward to? How can we maintain a sense of having hope in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation where there's so much going wrong? How can we stand aside and stand out as people who have a hope? And he says we need to give that answer in meekness and reverence, or fear, you know, reverence. Certainly not with arrogance, not prideful, and not judgmental, but to give. This is the child of God, this is the Christian's opportunity, instead of being scared to death that somebody might ask us, this is our opportunity by request to share the gospel and to give a witness of our testimony, why we have such hope. Do we, here's a hard question. It begs the question, do we indeed even have enough hope about us that would cause others to ask? See? Do people view us as somebody who has a hope? Not just people who maybe are a little optimistic about things. We're not optimistic about the world and events in the world, but we are optimistic about what eternity. Amen? And so, do we have enough of that hope in us that would cause an interest in people where they would ask us? And ideally, the answer would be yes, that we do. And that people might view our day-to-day life being around us and say, there's something different about you. You seem to have hope when we are full of despair. Now, we cannot allow the world to cause us to despair and to get down and out. We sung a song last Sunday night that spoke to me, "Because He Lives." We had Facebook church last Sunday night. Brother Jack sung that song, "Because He Lives." It talked about a child such as this. This child can face uncertain years because he lives. That encouraged me. Because with grandchildren, I always am concerned about, what's going to become of them? How are they going to handle the even more changing world and the things that we see coming that trouble us? And sometimes that causes me to be a little trouble. But that song encourages me. How will they make it? Like we did, because he lives. We can be assured that this child can face uncertain years and days ahead, whatever they may be, different challenges than what we faced, and we worry about that they'll be able to face those challenges just like we did. Why? Because he lives. We're going to step off the stage one of these days, but God is still in control. It's not that we have to be here to take care of everything and to do everything. God will be the same when we are gone. We can trust Him to see over these children that are coming up. We don't have to worry about that. God will not vacate His throne. His power will be there. His grace is sufficient. And they'll be able to face whatever it is because He lives. We need to be a people with hope. We see so much of sorrow in the world. We're so tied up and we get distressed sometimes and we lose sight of the fact that we have a great hope about us. Something beyond this world. We're not optimistic about the things of this world, but again, we are optimistic about eternity, and we need to be able that people would see us as being distinct and different from other people in the world, and hopefully trigger them to ask us the question, what is it about you that has this hope? Why do you have such hope? Why are you not melting like everybody else and going mad? It's no secret that mental illness is at a long time high. It's one of the number one problems in society today. Last year, the mayors of our cities in America voted it the most troubling thing that they face, mental health issues. People are going mad. How do we maintain sanity? How do we, in the midst of all this, maintain hope and be a people of hope that is distinct, that hopefully would cause people to notice that in us and trigger them to ask us? So the question is, Do we have enough hope? We need to ask myself. I do this. I take inventory. Do I have enough hope in me and display that would cause people to see that and that would trigger them or that they would even notice that I'm different, that I have something called hope, you know. If we're not any different than the world, we have nothing to offer people but the same old thing, that it's getting them nowhere. But we are to be distinguished, and hopefully they will see something in us that would cause them to ask us, what is it about you that you have such hope? When people are giving up, you know, we say, hey, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope, you know, always, no matter how bad the situation is, there's hope for people. We can't give up on people. There is hope. We don't give up because we have a lasting hope. We need to tell them here. Now, when people hopefully would ask you, first of all, don't be frightened if somebody should ask you this. Oh, what would I do if somebody asked me? You should be happy. You should be happy that someone would notice that you're distinguished from the world, that something about you sticks out, that you seem to have a hope about you that piques their interest, and that they would even notice or ask you that question, well, what would I do? Here, I'm going to tell you what to do. Should you be so blessed that someone should ask you, what is the cause of the hope that is in you? When I see no hope, when I see things falling apart all around us, but yet you seem to maintain a level of hope, what is that hope in you? People genuinely are curious about things like that, and when they ask you that question, they are serious, and they would like to know, and it's no time for us to, I don't know, maybe I could send you to the pastor. Maybe I could refer you to somebody else. You know, it's just this or that. I go to church. You know, don't be general. Don't be general in your answers here. And Peter's talking about that we should be able to do this. You can do this, and people are counting on you. Why? Because you stand in good with the Lord. When times are getting trying, people are going to one of these days turn to somebody who stands in good with the Lord. And we need to be able to stand and to speak up. When someone should ask me, tell them, start your conversation off like this. You know, I once was like you. What is the difference in you? You seem to have hope, and I have no hope. People generally in the world today don't have hope, do they? There's really not much hope. They're trying things, and all kinds of things in the world, but those things, after tried, they prove to fail. They don't really bring hope. They just get our attention for a little while, but there's no sustaining hope in the things of this world. So we know that when people might ask us this. So we need to tell them, first of all, I can identify with you. Now, at my age, it is getting harder for me to identify with the world of people. Our culture is changing. Obviously, when you go out and you see people in the world, culture is changing. It's a little culture shock. We know we have to familiarize ourselves with what people are going on. But they're really not that much different from you. They may look different than us, but they're really not that much different from us. For we all at one time were what? Without hope. Don't you go and you go out in public and you see people and it breaks your heart, and you know that person has no hope. And they'll tell that way. They've given up. Many of them have given up They have little or no hope. The world is full of people with no hope. And so we should be able to identify with them because we were yet once without hope. We were all without hope, and sometimes we tend to forget that. But remember, we once were in that boat. So you can identify with them. You can. And start your conversation off. Tell them that once I was like you, I had no hope. How can we understand people that have no hope? Because, hey, we were one of them once. Before Christ came into our heart and changed our life, we had no hope. Now, we don't maybe want to remember that, but it's true. And some of these things are good for us to be able to identify, you know, that we were once like that. We weren't always saved. We didn't always. And what you're trying to say is, I didn't always have the hope that I have now. See, we're telling the reason for this hope. Gain some common ground. Ephesians 2, chapter 12 and 13, Paul says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Hey, there was a time when we had no hope, not a little hope, no hope, and without God in the world. So we have something in common. The old man of us has something in common with all these people in the world that we say, hey, I don't have anything in common with. I don't have any idea where they come from. Yes, we do. They come from where we came from, lost and undone. So we were once like you. There was a time that I had no hope. You know, having no hope without God in the world. But now, what is the difference in me now and then? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, admitting, hey, I was just as far off as you are now, brother. I was just as lost. I was just as void of hope as you are now. Once I was like that, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of the cross. The experience of Jesus Christ in my life, the gospel changed me and has given me this hope. I was once like you, but now I met Christ and I have hope, and you can too. It's doable. And we do have something to identify with the multitudes of people who are out here broken with no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 13 through 18. And Paul here is talking to the Christians in Thessalonica who have some questions about the dead, their dead loved ones who are dying. They had some people confused in doctrine, and some people were teaching things like if the people died before Jesus came, they were in flux and we weren't sure whether they were saved. They believed that you had to be alive when Jesus comes back to be ushered into heaven. That was all false teaching and confusion. And Paul writes to them to settle them down and essentially saying, you know, you don't have to worry about your loved ones who have died in the Lord. They are good. They are good. But in this section here, he talks about something else with that I want to share with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Hey, your loved ones who died in the Lord, don't sorrow them like those who have no hope. You know, there is a difference between those who die with hope and those who do not die without hope. Those who die in the Lord, you know, we have hope. You know, this should encourage us. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is why we ought to have hope. This is why we ought to be different from the world. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is hope, isn't it? This gives us hope. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We need to be comforting people, you know, and when our loved ones die and decease, we can comfort one another in the Lord, you see here. It's different from those which have no hope. And once upon a time, we had no hope. Hope. What is hope? What are we hoping for? And what if they should ask us, well, what are you hoping for? I have a hope. Reason I maintain a better attitude about things and events in the future and now is because I have hope. Well, hope in what? That's a vague term. That's a vague word. What hope? What are you hoping for? What is this hope? What do you mean when you say hope? Hope for what? Well, we are hoping for salvation. Amen? Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Paul says in the same letter to the Thessalonians, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So our hope, the hope of salvation, you know, deliverance. That is what we hope for, to be delivered come the day of judgment. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I have hope. Of salvation, you know, that I've not been appointed unto the wrath of God, which is coming upon this world, the judgment of God that is coming upon all ungodly men. I have been delivered from that, and what a relief. That is the reason of our hope. That's what we're hoping for. What are we hoping for? A good outcome come the day of judgment. Amen? I would hope we are looking for and expecting a good outcome on the day of judgment. And that is hope. A lot of people don't have that. Well, I don't know. You can ask a lot of people. I've asked people before, if you were to die tonight, would you be at peace with the Lord? Well, I don't know. I would maybe sort of, that sort of thing. But we need to know the assurance of our salvation and have hope here, you know, hope of salvation, the hope of salvation, Paul says. That's the hope that we have. That's why we can maintain sanity in a world that is going mad. We can maintain sanity and have hope because we have hope of salvation. We know what it's all coming to, but we have hope before us, coming before us. Hope to escape the wrath of God. We need to share with people, as Paul did in the book of Romans, that the wrath of God. What do we pray for people to be saved? Saved from what? The wrath of God that is coming. You know, Paul prayed for his people Israel that they might be saved from the wrath of God that's coming upon judgment upon ungodly men that's coming upon this world, you know, and that we can be saved from that wrath. You know, Paul said over here in Romans talking about that, that we would escape the wrath of God. I have hope that I will escape the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. That is our hope, essentially. Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 8 and 9, he said, "For God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Hey, we're happy because we're not going to face the wrath of God that is coming upon this world one day. And so we have hope. The only hope we have is through Christ. What is the underlying reason of this hope that is in you? Well, I'm glad you asked that. If someone should ask you, what is the reason of this hope that is in you? Why are you optimistic about the future? We're optimistic about eternity, aren't we? Yeah, we're optimistic about our future. We're not optimistic about the future of this world, because that's foretold what's going to happen. But we are optimistic about our future as God's people. That is our hope, that we will escape the wrath of God, and we're going to do that through Christ. So, what is the reason of the hope that is in you? If we should be so blessed that they would notice and then be caused to ask us. You see, the problem is, if we live in a world that is broken and they don't notice it, that's problematic. That's problematic for God's people when they can see no difference between us and themselves. When we don't seem to have any more hope than they do. They'll know we're Christians, how by our love, the whole song says. They will know by our actions, how we live, how we treat people, and how we talk, our habits, what we do, where we go, how we view the world. Hopefully they will notice. And should they ask, what is the central reason of the hope in you? What once would probably scare us to death, we should rejoice. We should say, "I'm glad you asked me that question," and then be able to share the gospel with them. Then be able to tell them, you don't have to give them a doctrinal sermon, a theology. You don't have to be a theologian and teach them about theology, but the simplicity of the gospel is really the beauty of the cross. The simplicity of the old message that we're in trouble when we get tired of, when we desire new fad things to make us feel better and have a better life. Now, hey, our life is the one to come. You know, we're just here as pilgrims and strangers and New Age Christians who are all about living better here and functioning, feeling better about themselves here and feel good, and gospels of prosperity. I don't have time for that. I want something that builds a future in eternity. I want something that centers upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That is all that's going to get me saved. These other things will not get us saved. So what is the hope in you? These other things will fail, will let us down. I'm glad you asked. 1 Timothy, write the scripture down in case somebody asks you, why do you have hope in you? Just one verse. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. That's pretty simple. What Jesus Christ, my Savior, Jesus Christ, which is our hope. It's all about Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is my hope. Plain and simple. Not difficult to share. That's why we have hope in us. The Lord Jesus Christ is my hope. I have not discovered a new age living technique and how to make myself feel good and all these things. I have not figured out the secret of life. I have not figured out the secrets that the Gnostics taught in first century, secret knowledge I've discovered and been enlightened with some secret knowledge. But Jesus Christ, the simplicity of the gospel, the cross of Jesus, gives me hope. Our hope is in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the chapter that Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The apostle shares a lot about the resurrection of Jesus and how important it is. And this is why we can have a historical Jesus has documented that Jesus lived first century, taught the good news of the kingdom, ministered among people, and that he was crucified. That's documented. That's documented. That the Romans crucified him under Pontius Pilate, Claudius Caesar, probably, which was officially the first emperor of Rome. Jesus was crucified, we believe, under the emperor Claudius, Pontius Pilate, but all of that is historically traced, that they crucified him in Jerusalem. But what gives us hope is that there is a select group of people down through the ages who have believed and accepted the fact that he rose from the dead. Now, history can't give that to you. They can say tradition teaches it. In fact, during the 90s, the Church of Canada come out with a statement from all of their clergy. They had this big meeting, and they come out with a doctrine that, and this was in the 90s, that said, it is not essential that one should have to believe in the literal resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And they went further to say that there is some disputation about whether or not he actually rose in the body or not. And so, therefore, it really doesn't matter. But that's heresy. To be a believer, to have the hope that we speak of today, one must be a firm believer in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because clearly, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we have no hope beyond this grave. All the hope that we have, that we carry around, that we share with people, all comes down to the fact of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, if in this life only we have hope. There's some people that have some hope in this life and in the things of this world, and the things to make them feel better and give them a better life. They have some hope in this world. Some people do good deeds to feel good about themselves and do all these things and do lots of things to feel good and have some hope in this life. But for the Christian, Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are indeed the most miserable of men. Most miserable. So we will not display and exhibit the hope that the Bible talks about unless we are convinced and believe with every fabric in our life that Jesus rose from the dead. Otherwise, we'll live a miserable life, you know, hoping and thinking maybe it's true, I hope it is and all that. But to be convinced and to rely solely and totally upon this one fact. This is where the rubber meets the road. The resurrection of Jesus. They took Jesus and they crucified him on the cross. He died, they placed him in the tomb, and then he rose from the dead. Showed himself openly to the apostles and different people and ascended back to heaven in 40 days and promised before he went that he would come again for us. It is essential to believe that. But now, Paul said, if we only have, you know, there's some people who have a little hope in this life, but down deep inside, they have to be miserable. To those who are faking it and somewhat hoping to be saved and that sort of thing, Paul says it is to render yourself to be among men most miserable. For those who are not convinced that Jesus both died and rose again, you're miserable. You're miserable. You've not yet been convinced of that. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We got to believe that. That's where our hope comes from. And that's what you can share with people. And they say, why do you have this hope? Because I have an uncommon faith here among men that I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. And this is my hope. My hope is not in my ability to know or to do anything, but my hope is in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The bodily resurrection of Jesus. He was dead, crucified for my sins, buried, and he rose again and has now victory over death. Because he lives, we can have hope. We can be optimistic about the future for these little babies. We can be optimistic about the future of our children and our grandchildren. You know, when we start thinking about, I'm not going to be here to take care of people one of these days. Hey, he lives, so it doesn't matter. We can pass the torch, and we can be good with that, and we can have closure facing death and not worry about leaving this world, because what we'll go on to better things. That's hope that we have in Christ. So, what is the reason of the hope in you? Let me tell you. I'm glad you noticed, first of all. Take it as a compliment. Someone should ask you why you have an uncommon hope in this world that is filled with brokenness, darkness, and despair. Then you have your opportunity to share the reason of that hope in you, which is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to do it with meekness and fear, with reverence, meekness, not arrogant, not bragging about what we have found and come to know, not prideful, and certainly not judgmental. We are not the judge. Well, if you'd straighten up and live like me, you could have the hope that I got. No. But hey, I once was just like you, without any hope. The difference in me now and then is I've come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I have the power of His resurrection living in me. My hope is in the power of Jesus and His resurrection. Because He lives, I have hope. Do you have that today? Could you say, all of my hope is in Christ? What is the reason of what hope you have? If it is anything other than in the resurrection and the power of Jesus Christ, that hope is doomed to fail. Only the hope in Jesus will see us through. We're not going to have an invitation today. I am going to ask you if you feel led, if you need to come forward and pray about anything today, you may do so. If you're at home watching by Facebook, I want to ask you, do you have real hope? Do you have an uncommon hope? Would you be shocked if someone would ask you to share that hope? Would you say, I'm glad you asked me that question. Let me share it with you. Don't try to give them a sermon of theological issues, but share the plain, simple of Jesus Christ. The reason of my hope is Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. If there's one here today or one watching, you need to pray about this. If you don't have this hope, you can have it. If you're lost, we were once just like you. We can identify with that. What's the difference in us now is we have been gloriously saved, set apart, and now we have hope to face whatever comes. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the hope you give us in Christ Jesus. I pray that we'd be so fortunate that others might notice that. Others might ask us about that, and that we would be glad to speak a word of testimony about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that you give us. We pray for those who are living in darkness that they should know such hope one day, dear Lord, that the gospel would shine unto their lives and they would be gloriously saved and come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray there be those who are lost and undone today that are listening to this message, that today they might seek out real hope. The hope of this world is not lasting. It will only leave us miserable. But thank you for the lasting hope we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.